School of the Bible, our Old Testament survey one class. I came to Exodus 4 and verses 6 and 8, where God tells Moses, he says, Moses, put your hand to your bosom. Oh, there's a mic there. Take it out. And it was leprous. He says, put your hand back in, take it out again. And it's clean. I was like, wow, that's a powerful sign. God's trying to use leprosy to tell Moses something, but I didn't really know what that was. And when I came to Leviticus 13:14, the parts of the law concerning leprosy, I was again interested. I said, wow, there's a two whole chapters of the law dedicated to how they can tell what this disease is, what the symptoms are, what they should do after it, and the cleansing of it. And so I was very interested in it, but I never got around to looking it up. Then I come to the other places in Scripture, in the first 12 books, like Naaman, and we'll go over some of these, and just kept seeing this leprosy turn up, and I never got around to looking into it. Then we were going over a few weeks ago, in our family worship time, the story of Naaman and his leprosy, and I was like, man, I never got around to looking leprosy up. Next day, Pastor James says, hey, brother, can you teach a Sunday school lesson? I was like, Holy Spirit said, well, here's your chance to look it up. So we're going to we're going to learn today about what the Bible says about leprosy, what we know about the disease today, and how we can use this disease to view sin in our lives. So let's pray and we'll get started. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to all be here in your house, Lord, taking time to go over your word, Lord, taking time to fellowship with one another, Lord, and to worship you. Lord, I pray that you just be with us today and be with us throughout this week, Lord. Help us to gather something today that we can use in our lives, Lord. Help us just to be witnesses of you as we move throughout our lives, Lord. And thank you for everything you've done for us. In your son's name we pray, amen. So, my lovely assistant passed out some notes pages. So, for the first point on there, we have leprosy represents God's judgment, and God judges sin. So we're going to look at three examples of leprosy being a sign of God's judgment. If you have your Bibles with me, please turn with me to Numbers chapter 12. And we're going to look at Miriam's sin of pride. And I cheated and marked all my verses, so I'm just going to give you all a second to turn there. So to give you a little bit of backstory on what's happening here in Numbers 12 and Numbers 11, Moses, at God's command, appointed 70 elders to assist in the everyday management of the Israelites. I think at this time there were over 2 million Israelites, and they before were relying mainly on Moses. And I believe that Miriam and Aaron also had a slight input on the everyday management, because we'll see how this appointing of the 70 elders affects Miriam. So come to chapter 12, we have Miriam, who is called prophetess in Exodus 15:20, and Aaron, the priest, feeling that they probably lost some power due to this new arrangement. And we see that Miriam starts to cause strife, and she takes Aaron along with her. Now, I won't go over what exactly she was saying. She was complaining about Moses marrying an Ethiopian woman, but I want to look at why she was causing this strife. And so I looked into it, and I actually was able to use Pastor James' study on Moses and go back and listen to the wonderful study that he had. And he brought up the fact that this Miriam causing this strife was motivated by envy. And this envy stemmed from pride. And James says in James 3:15, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." And so we see that her envy being caused by pride, and then God getting very angry over this sin and over the affront of Moses. So let's read in Numbers 12, verses 9 through 12. It says, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb." So we see that God punished Miriam for her pride by using leprosy. Thankfully, Moses was able to pray and beseech the Lord, and she was healed of it. We're also going to look at this Gehazi's sin of coveting and lying in 2 Kings 5. So if you could please turn to 2 Kings 5. For a backstory of this, so we have Naaman, the general in Syria, who has leprosy, and his little Israelite maid, who they captured out of the northern kingdoms, tells him that there's a prophet in Samaria and that he should go to them for cleansing. And so Naaman goes to the prophet Elijah, and after a little bit of not wanting to do what the man of God said, he eventually goes down to Jordan and is cleansed from his leprosy. And what I want to highlight is what happens to Gehazi, the servant of Elijah. And so we see that Gehazi first in verse 21 follows after Naaman. It says Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lied down off his chariot and said, Is it all well? And he says, all is well. My master had sent me, saying. But Elijah had not sent him. What Gehazi was doing was he was chasing after the reward that Naaman had promised. So he was coveting that reward, and he lied first to Naaman. He says, behold, even now there come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. There were also no young men. He was lying about that also. Naaman said, be content, take two talents. And he urged him about two talents of silver and two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants that they bear them before him. And so they go and Gehazi takes this reward back, and he comes in and I guess probably has the servants carry it to his house and not tell Elijah about it. And he goes in, and Elijah understands what he's saying, understood what he did. So in chapter 25, it says, but he went in, stood before his master, or verse 25 says, but he went in, stood before his master, and Elijah said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. There it is, another lie. It says, he said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money, to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maidservants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper, white as snow. So we have that God, through Elijah, is punishing Gehazi's sin of coveting and lying by using leprosy. And our last example we're going to look at is in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. So if you could please turn there, and we're going to read the story of Uzziah's sin and of stubbornness and anger. An interesting fact about King Uzziah is that he's called Uzziah mostly in 2 Chronicles and has the name Azahiah in Kings. It's because I was looking up, let me look up Uzziah. I was like, why is he only in Chronicles? So that's an interesting thing. And we see that Uzziah's life starts out doing good. It says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord after his father David. And there's also a long list of all the accomplishments he made. Did he sought God, he warred against the Philistines, he fortified Jerusalem. And then the Bible says in verse 15, it says, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. So catapults are in the Bible. Awesome. And his name was spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. And just, I love that verse, or that part of that verse. It says he was marvelously helped, so God helped him do all these marvelous things till he was strong. And then in verse 16, we see why that ended when he was strong. It says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. He was also prideful. It says, he transgressed against the Lord God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar, which was a duty that was to be reserved for the priest. And I found just so interesting that this mimics Saul's fall when he tried to sacrifice, taking over the priest's job. It says, and as Azariah, the priest, went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord, that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests and the sons of Aaron that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Uzziah does not take their advice. He's being stubborn. He does not go out, and he instead gets wroth or angry at them. It says, Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. So Uzziah was prideful, he was stubborn, he was angry, and God punished his sin by giving him leprosy, and he dwelt apart for the rest of his days, and was even buried apart from the normal kings. So we see in these examples that God punishes sin, and that he has used leprosy as his punishment. This is also shown by the Hebrew word for leprosy, meaning stricken, which has the connotation for being struck by God. So I do want to caution you to not think as the disciples did concerning the man blind from his birth in John 9, 1 through 12. They thought his blindness was a result of sin, and if he was born blind, it must have been the sin of his parents. Jesus said that's not so. It says all the diseases are not a direct result of sin. Some are a result of this fallen world, and some can be so that the works of God should be manifest. But does God judge sin? Yes. Romans 6:23 says, For the wages of sin is death. And in Hebrews 9:27, As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And I also wrote down some further verses that you can look at for God's punishment of sin, which is Exodus 32:33, Numbers 32:23, and Job 21:17. So now that we know that God judges sin, and leprosy is sometimes used as a representation of this judgment, let's look at what leprosy is. We're going to look at it both biblically and scientifically as we know about it today. Biblical leprosy. So I won't walk step by step through Leviticus 13 and 14, the specific laws concerning leprosy, but I will go a little more in depth than Moses' summary of leprosy of those two chapters in Deuteronomy 24, 8 and 9, in which he says, Take heed in the plague of leprosy that thou observe diligently, and do according to all that the priests and Levites shall teach you, as I commanded them, so ye shall observe to do. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way, after that ye were come forth out of Egypt. So he says, as we're going to do today, remember Miriam for your leprosy. Those two chapters leave them to the priest. So, what leprosy was in the Bible? It was a generic term applied to various skin conditions and was even used to describe mold and mildew in clothing or a house. So we have the section of the law in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, which goes very in-depth on what types of boils and all kinds of nasty stuff that I didn't include in pictures to save y'all from that could be what leprosy is. So we also have Leviticus 13, 45, and 46, and it tells what happens when a person is found to have leprosy. And I'm going to read that. It says, And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare, he shall put a covering upon his lip, and shall cry, Unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. So we see that the leper had to rend his clothes, he had to keep his hair bare, had to wear a mask, he had to cry, Unclean, unclean, and he had to live outside the camp. He was not fit to worship God, and it was fit to be around God's people. And also, if someone came into close contact with a leprous person, they were also declared to be unclean. Scientifically, the leprosy we know now is known as Hansen's disease. They don't like to call it leprosy because of the negative connotations that it has. So it's a bacterial infection, causes characteristic discoloration, lesions, and nerve damage. If you haven't seen a picture of somebody that has advanced stages of leprosy, don't look it up. You don't want to see it. It's also extremely resistant to treatment. You have to take multiple antibiotics for 6 to 24 months to make sure that you're cleansed from it. It's also contagious from prolonged contact with a diseased person, and many cultures have separated those infected into leper colonies. This still occurs in areas of India, China, Japan, Africa, and Thailand. So now that we know some basics about leprosy, let's see how leprosy can teach us about sin. So how leprosy can teach us about sin. Leprosy has certain symptoms. As I was researching these symptoms, I realized that many of them could be related to sin. So we're going to look at some of those similarities. Leprosy starts out small and then grows at a varying rate. So leprosy is a bacterial infection. The bacteria that causes it replicates very slowly. Once infected, symptoms can show in as little as 6 months, or it could take up to 20 years for you to start experiencing the symptoms of it. And there are two ways that we can use this fact to view sin in our lives. First, we all have the root of sin within us at birth, even before we're born, as David says in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And this sin takes some time to manifest itself and to be seen in our lives. Maybe not other people may could see in, because we have kids. Let me tell you, they definitely have no sin, even though they did not know they're sinning. But it definitely takes time for people to understand what the sin is in their lives. And secondly, and what I think is most important for Christians to take heed of, is that the little sins that we commit day to day can grow to have a large impact on our life. James shows us the progression of sin in our lives. In James 1, verses 14 and 15, it says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So first we have the lusting, the wanting of something, and then when that lust is conceived here, meaning to seize or grasp, which is means we are lusting after something, lusting after an object, lusting after a feeling that we want, we reach hold and take it, or reach to grasp it, and that's bringeth forth sin, and then the end of sin is death. And so while we, as Christians, are saved from the eternal separation and eternal death through the sacrifice of Jesus, if we look out and see the sins that people sometimes take a part in, that how they can lead to an expedited death, expedited end to our time here on earth. And so we also can see that sin is progressive in Romans 1, 18 through 32. I'm not going to go over that, but that's some great verses to read showcasing the descent of man due to sin. So we all know that sin is bad, but we still make excuses for the sins that small sins that we commit. All sin is the same, but sometimes people will tell a little white lie. It's not bad. Sin is sin. And Pastor James shared with me a great verse to emphasize the point that even though we don't see the immediate effects of sin on our lives, or that we make these excuses because we do not see the immediate effect that sin has on our lives. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says, "Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." So because that we're not punished immediately for the sins that we do, we're going to keep doing them. So we need to be wary of all sin in our lives, even the small sins. So we also have, not only does leprosy start small and grow, leprosy damages. So the bacteria that causes leprosy likes to grow and infect the nerves, and so it causes nerve damage. And so this nerve damage results in a lack of feeling to the extremities. This lack of feeling can lead to an increased chance of injury, and if you have these injuries, especially if they go unnoticed, it can lead to an infection and loss of the infected limb. So Isaiah actually uses this same imagery of this infected and just broken limbs in Isaiah 1, verses 4 through 6. And can we please turn there? Because I just won't have trouble reading it. But just like the how he progresses to show them here. Isaiah is a hard one to find. I'll give you a second. So in Isaiah verse 4, it says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards. So we see that they were very sinful. He says, why should you be stricken anymore? So we're going to go over what is the result of their sin. He says, you will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint. Here we go. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. So we see that when we have the sin in our lives, it's like us having these open wounds. It says, sin in our lives, since it's damaging nerves, sin in our lives causes our nerves to be damaged. We experience a lack of feeling. We experience a lack of compassion, and we experience a turning away from God. So Jesus even speaks on the state of man during the end times, or leading up to the end times, and how sinful the world is. And he says in Matthew 24:12, it says, "In iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." So the sin in our lives causes us to have a lack of feeling, a lack of compassion towards our fellow Christians and God. And that this causes a lack of love and a lack of compassion that we can see everywhere in the world today, even in our churches. So leprosy also separates. Biblically and historically, those found to have leprosy were separated from normal society. Sin in our lives also separates us from God and from others. And we can see the separating effect of sin in the story of man's fall in Genesis 3. And it says in Genesis 3, 8 and 10, it says, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called upon Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. And so Adam and Eve, after they sinned and ate of the tree of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, lost that close connection that they had with God. They were normally walking with God, talking with him, and here they are hiding in the bushes, hiding in the trees so that they cannot see him because of this, the separating effect of their sins. Isaiah also says in Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So not only does our sin want us to stay away from God, God has no part in the darkness of our sins, and he will turn his face and hide from us. Sin also separates us from our fellow Christians. When we are walking in darkness, it's hard for us to be around those who are walking in the light. 1 John 2:9-11 says, he that saith he is in the light hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. So when we're in fellowship with Christ, we don't have sin in our lives, we're able to get along with our brethren despite our faults. With sin in our lives, it's easy to turn to hating our brethren. And when we're hating our brethren, we're living in sin. It says that in being around someone in the light will bring conviction and shine light on the current state of darkness. And having a light shone on you when you're living in sin is a painful thing to do. And a lot of times people will stay away from other Christians, stay away from their friends, stay away from the church because of it. So we also have that leprosy weakens. So leprosy weakens muscles because of damaged nerves. You can experience muscle weakness or even in advanced cases, paralysis. So having lingering sin in our lives also weakens us and hurts the work that we can do for God. God called all of us to work, and having sin in our lives will prevent us from doing the work that God has called us to do. James encourages us to set aside our sin and be doers of the word. James 1:21-22 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And so without laying apart all of our sin, we're never going to be able to be doers of the word. leprosy also damages the eyesight. So the nerve damage associated with leprosy can also affect the eyes. It causes a loss of feeling, which can lead to an inability to close one's eyes, even to blink. And this can lead to damage. So also, due to the unique coolness of the outer eye, it's a really good place for the leprosy bacteria to breed, which causes inflammation and can lead to eventual blindness. And so the sin in our lives prevents our spiritual growth. The exact kind of spiritual growth that Peter outlines in 2 Peter 1:2-8, and Peter also comments on those not growing spiritually in 2 Peter 1:9, it says, "But he that lacketh these things," lacketh spiritual growth, "is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." So the sin in our lives blinds us to the things of God. We cannot see the things that he has done and is doing in our lives, and eventually we can even forget our own salvation. A diagnosis of leprosy without treatment holds a bleak outlook for the affected person. A diagnosis of sin without treatment holds a bleak outlook for the affected person. But praise God, we can go to Jesus for cleansing. So Jesus cleanses. Leviticus 13:14 not only describes the symptoms of leprosy and how the person with this disease should be treated, but praise God, it also gives hope that this disease doesn't have to last, as it outlines what to do for cleansing after being healed. So what I found interesting is that if you compare this cleansing of leprosy to the cleansing for touching one who is dead in Numbers 19, they're very similar. I included those verses on your notes. And these two cleansings are the only time that running water is required for cleansing. And when you look at the Hebrew word, and I put the character or word on there, that is translated to running, is the word, you pronounce it chai with a little bit of throat in the beginning, and it's spelled C-H-A-I or C-H-A-Y. This is the Hebrew word, which is an adjective, meaning life or living. And so we see that the running water that they needed to have for the cleansing for leprosy and the cleansing for touching one that is dead could also be translating living water. So lepers were looked on as being already dead, and they must go to the living water for cleansing. Today, we have a living water that we can turn to for cleansing. When we have sin in our lives, we need to turn to Jesus, the living water for cleansing. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And also included in your notes the verses in Hebrews chapter 1 going over Jesus purging us from our sins. So I encourage you, and even myself, to not let sin linger in your lives, but to turn immediately to Christ. So we have looked at how leprosy represents God's judgment of sin, what leprosy is, what leprosy can teach us about sin, and our need for the living water to cleanse us. And I hope this has been as helpful to you as it has been to me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful time that I've had going over this disease, Lord, that is so just detrimental to the person who has it, Lord, to the person who has it around us, Lord. And I thank you for giving me the insight, Lord, on how the sin in my life, the sin in all our lives, is also just as detrimental, Lord. I'd like to pray that you help us to always turn to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, Lord. Confess our sins, Lord, so that we can be cleansed, Lord. I'd like to pray that you just help us have a good rest of the day in your house, Lord. Pray that the other services go great, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done for us. In your son's name we pray. Amen.